the end of a very long first day, so I think we'll go ahead and get started. First of all, I'd like to welcome you to the Educational Resources for Flight Department Employees, Non-Flight Employees, Getting the Most from the NBAA S&D Conference, Schedulers and Dispatchers Conference. My name is Dorette Kerr, and I am the Supervisor of Flight Administration for John Deere Global Aviation Services based in Moline, Illinois, and I have the distinct honor this year of serving as the chair of the S&D Committee, along with my vice chair, Darren Hall, from Fargo Jet Center. I'd like to begin our session today by showing the NBAA Schedulers and Dispatchers commemorative video that premiered earlier this year in January at the 20th NBAA Schedulers and Dispatchers Anniversary Conference. When I went to my first conference back in 1996, I was just amazed by the energy and the excitement that the small group of 570 people were able to generate, and I knew that there was something about it that just drew me in and made me want to get more involved and figure out a way that I could be a part of that.
Excitement level that goes on at this conference, whether it's 500 people or a couple thousand now, is out of the world.
I meet with my network with so many different people, and it's just a total rejuvenation. And you go back to your job, and it gets you through all another year, knowing that next year I'm actually going to get to see all my friends that I've met, all the people that do what we do, and pick up something new and get me going through another year. It's been amazing.
I would definitely say that I think all of the people here love what they do, and it shows.
It's such a fresh conference with that. Youth with emotion, with a lot of activity, so we love it.
Yeah,
that's
what
we mean. For years and years here.
Yeah.
So Schedulers and Dispatchers is about networking, and beyond that, it's about friendship. It's been a wonderful, wonderful trip.
Absolutely.
Learning from the people that I've met has been absolutely valuable in my job.
It's a huge networking function for me. To come to this conference and be able to talk with everyone that you talk to every day on the phone, but now interact with them on a face-to-face basis, it makes it a lot more fun to go home and deal with the mechanical or the intense situation, be able to call someone and know that they understand you.
It really is a high-touch industry. Friendships, relationships are critical to the way that we all do business, and what we're able to gain here with all these people together is the cementing and continuing growth of those relationships, and that's just unreal. We're in a service industry. If there is something goes wrong in our industry and with our relationship with our client, the chance that they're giving you a second, a third, or a fourth chance to rectify your mistake, most of the time it's based upon the personal relationships you build at shows like this. Well, the business is all about relationships and building a level of trust and comfort with the people we deal with. People that are not co-located with any of us, but at different parts of the country. And now what we've seen with evolution where as the business grows globally, people from other countries are starting to join in the pursuit of perfection and building, continue to build those levels of trust that are so important.
It was just a lot more challenging without the technology. But technology has brought us so much further now.
And they had that vision, and carried that vision forward with the ideas that we can continue to grow and we can continue to provide training and we can continue to provide things for the conference. Over $50,000 in scholarships that are offered to the people who are going to use this for improving their own professional development, improving their own training, and really developing their career in business aviation. So the growth of the conference has allowed for those kinds of things to happen. So to be here and see this group now is just, wow, it's just exciting. And just love
it. You know, it's not magic. When the passengers show up, the pilots know where to go. There's catering for the airplane. There's ground transportation on the other end. And there's so many of the logistics details are already known. And one of the board members said, I know who that is. And I said, that's wonderful. I hope you let them come to the Schedulers and Dispatchers Conference next year. I'm always happy to hear from a person that's never been to the conference. give me an opportunity to promote the conference and tell them about what that, about the opportunities that are afforded here. And oftentimes they'll say, well, gosh, my boss doesn't like me to do those kind of things and can't cut me loose. And my next question is always, do I need to have a talk with your boss?
I was excited to see a number of individuals participating and using this conference for what it was created to be, a major training event.
Knowing that everyone faces the same challenges on a day-to-day basis, whether they're sitting in Seattle or New York or Houston, and it opens up a lot of relationships and a lot of brainstorming sessions, you know, when people have the same challenges, you can call and say, hey, how did you handle this? And we all face the same problems, and I think we've all worked through them.
To clearly focus on your attitude about your job, that will get you everywhere that you need to go. You can go and get your education, which is absolutely utmostly important, but also to just have a really positive attitude.
You can get good professionals into an organization or a committee where they can synergize, develop best practices, share best practices, benchmark, and bring that back and put that to work within your department. It's money well spent. By far exceeded all my expectations to be able to allow these individuals to go, enjoy themselves, synergize best practices, and come back and implement that. The networking that's involved after the conference is as powerful as going to the conference.
I can honestly say that I think I've met almost 90% of my vendors face-to-face because of this conference. It's had tremendous effect, again, to enhance personal relationships. And when you're on the phone with someone, it makes a big difference knowing you actually really know the person on the other line.
Our industry, the business aviation industry, is built around, you know, that face-to-face opportunity that you have together with people. And this conference provides that opportunity.
The value that you have with the scheduled dispatchers conference is you are able to train your individual flight department personnel in one setting, and there's a variety of training opportunities that they're able to go through, and then bring that training back to the flight department. And from a vendor point of view, it's an opportunity to meet with most of your customers in one setting. So there's a win-win value from both sides.
Speaking from personal experience, I believe, first of all, everybody should attend for the education, that everybody has something to learn, whether they've been doing this for 6 months or they're attending their 20th conference next year in 2009.
I can take what I've learned back, and it's helped out in a lot of problem solving. You kind of bring it to the table and say, hey, how would this work for us? This is how they're using it. Let's kind of make it something of our own. So it's practical execution of real tools that you're picking up, whether it's in the hallway, an ice cream social, or at a session.
And what else you can do is have somebody in your office fill in for you, which really garners that appreciation and that value for what you do every day in your position. And I tell you what, I've heard so many times that when people come back to the office, their bosses or the other pilots or whoever's filled in for them has a true appreciation for the value that they give to that flight department.
I think that we need to really encourage young, educated, bright-eyed youth into this industry to make the future even better.
It will open up their eyes to what really the industry has to offer as far as career paths in our industry.
I'm confident that the number of operators that perceive the need for schedulers and dispatchers in their operation is going to continue to grow with the industry. So I think the conference will just become better as time goes on. And in fact, the occupation itself, I think, is going to become more and more like the commercial airlines utilize dispatchers and schedulers. It's going to really be the hub of decision-making for the flight operation, and I think will provide greater value as the years go by.
I think that in the year 2029, we will be celebrating our U.S. Schedules and Dispatchers Conference, because I envision that this is going to take off in other countries.
ways, but you just don't mess with success. Look at where we are. I wouldn't change a thing.
I'm sure that some of you recognized many of the faces in the video today, and some of those features in that video are here with us today and continue to support this conference because they share our passion in education and professional recognition of the schedulers and dispatchers. The S&D profession has evolved significantly over the past 20 years. World events, technology, and new regulations demands that schedulers and dispatchers understand how everything affects their jobs, their departments, and ultimately the success of their companies. Gone is the day that the S&D role can be easily filled by someone in a clerical position without receiving specific training. And on-the-job training is no longer enough. How many of us have the time today to dedicate to training our staff? I began my aviation career in 1997, and had the opportunity to attend my first S&D conference in Anaheim, California in 1998. I had been scheduling for a whole 5 months, and I felt that I had a pretty good handle on how to schedule my fleet. Well, what I found out was that I was right. I did do a pretty good job of scheduling our trips, but what I found out was that there was so much more that I could do to become a more valuable and integral resource in my department. I left that first conference energized and armed with the tools that I needed to take my position to the next level in my department. And with each conference after that, I brought back even more. I had the opportunity to meet with our vendors and build on strong relationships, resulting in a higher level of service for our department. I was also introduced to new products and technologies that increased the productivity and efficiency in our department. During the last 12 years, my network has grown tremendously. I can't tell you how many times our pilots come back from a trip to tell me that, oh, by the way, Marilyn from Monterey told me to tell you hello, and they also provided exceptional service. And that's usually followed by, is there anyone out there who doesn't know you? Today, I supervise two schedulers and an administrative assistant and have had the opportunity to become more involved in strategic and management issues. But I would not be standing before you today had it not been for the S&D Conference, the Schedulers Professional Development Program, the S&D Scholarship Program, involvement in the regional groups, of course, involvement on this committee, but most importantly, a boss who understands the importance of recurrent training, and a department and a company who is encouraging and supporting of everything that I do. Many in our industry are struggling to retain talented people and to keep their planes flying. Continuing education is crucial to our ongoing success, not only for pilots and maintenance technicians, but for the S&Ds whose talents and capabilities may be currently underutilized. We are pleased to announce that the NATA Leadership Conference will co-locate with the S&D Conference in January in San Antonio in 2010. We all agree that this is a great opportunity to provide enhanced education, networking, and marketing opportunities for both organizations, as the S&D event draws a large number of the NATA's FBO and airport members. While registration for each event will be separate, co-locating the conferences provides aviation professionals with an opportunity to reduce travel expenses during a challenging economic time. And we do have conference brochures. I think you've all received a copy of one. So you can actually look through that and see what sessions we'll be offering in January. And you'll see the quality and the timely content of the 33 sessions that will be offered. Our conference theme this year is Embracing Opportunities, Investing in Ourselves. And while you will see that the sessions are providing valuable information to all aviation professionals, you can't afford not to send your S&D to our conference. Thank you. Now I'd like to introduce our esteemed panel. First of all, Jeff Lee joined IBM's aviation department in 1983 and was promoted to director in 1993. He joined the MBA Board of Directors in 2001 and currently serves as chairman of the board. Jeff is also president of the Westchester Aviation Association that holds an annual aviation career fair It has drawn 7,000 students, parents, and teachers to date. Jeff is a 10,000-hour fixed and rotary wing pilot with ratings in Learjets, Gulfstream 2, 3, and 4, and the Falcon 2000. Elizabeth Dornett joined DuPont Aviation in May of 1988. In addition to flying as captain on a G4SB and Hawker 800, Elizabeth currently holds the position of manager operations. She has served on several MBAA standing committees and is currently a member of the MBAA Board of Directors. She has authored several aviation-related safety articles and serves as a member of the Northeast Corporate Aviation Safety Roundtable. Next is Jeff Daniels. He is the manager of flight services for Zurich Flight Operations. Jeff holds a professional designation of Certified Aviation Manager and serves on the MBAA Corporate Aviation Management Committee. In addition to his position at Zurich, Jeff also serves as a senior consultant for the Van Allen Group. He is a certified ATP and flight instructor with over 7,000 hours in multiple types of general aviation and business jet aircraft. As a passionate educator, Jeff frequently works with aviation students and disabled children to help them explore future careers or vocational interests in the field of aviation. Kelly Rittenhouse is the Director of Customer Relations for Pentastar Aviation in Waterford, Michigan. She has over 20 years of business aviation experience, is an FAA licensed dispatcher, and a certified aviation manager. She has held positions as a customer service representative, charter sales representative, crew scheduler, flight operations manager, and owner liaison. As a proud member of MBAA Schedulers and Dispatchers community, she participated on the S&D committee for 8 years and served as chairwoman for the 2004 conference in Savannah. She is actively involved in the advisory council and an advocate for maximizing the learning opportunities offered through MBAA. And just this morning, Kelly notified me that she was just elected to the CAM governing board. Troy Ledoux is the executive flight coordinator at MassMutual Financial Group. He has been a schedule for over 13 years and received his dispatcher's license in 2004, using funds awarded through the S&D scholarship program. He is a second-year member of the S&D committee, co-chair of the scholarship subcommittee, and is also a member of the Northeast S&D regional group. Now I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Jeff Lee.
Thank you, Doran. I'm really pleased to be here today. You know, I've been a few times that I've visited the schedulers and dispatchers meetings, I just saw that enthusiasm and I said, how can I follow this and take it home? It's always such a delight to be with this group, and the video actually captured that so well. You know, the theme that's going to be presented in San Antonio is about investing in yourselves. So I want to talk a little bit, not so much about what those investments ought to be, but why you ought to do that. And frankly, I think this group probably doesn't need to hear this message, but I think a lot of us in business aviation need to hear it. We're going to talk a little bit about aviation myopia, nearsightedness, a little bit about the reality that goes along with that nearsightedness. Everybody wins, some of the opportunities, and about giving back. You can read this. I'm not going to read it. We tend to be nearsighted. Actually, we tend to be a little more than nearsighted. Frankly, we have blinders on. We see about that far in front of us sometimes, and we never see. We don't have the scope that we need to have. Those are some of the phrases that you hear from people in your flight departments when they have this disease, when they can't see so well. It's not my job. Okay? Somebody else is doing that. What's in it for me? Okay? If I just keep my head down, everything will be okay. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, in this environment, a lot of those folks that have been saying those words probably aren't even with us anymore, frankly. But if you are saying those words, then that'd be a real clue to yourself to say this isn't right. What's the reality, then? The reality is, hey, we're all responsible. And Kelly, Dorette said this very well. We're all responsible for the success of our company. You know, in IBM, there's nothing in our mission statement if the flight department says anything about flying airplanes. It talks about helping making the corporation successful. That's why we exist. It isn't about flying them or fixing them or dispatching them. Okay? It's about making IBM successful. Everything we got to do ought to be along that line. And if it's not, we ought to stop doing it. We are employees first. Some people really struggle with this when they say, well, I'm a pilot, I'm a dispatcher, I'm a maintenance technician. No, no, you're an employee of your company. It's not good enough to say that you're the best aviator in the world or the best dispatcher in the world. I mean, you can plan the perfect trip, and Rome can be burning. important to keep your priorities right. Your job and your future depend on your engagement and your growth. If you're not growing, you're standing still, and actually you're moving backwards. You all have been in this business enough, and just look at the changes in the past year or so. Let's see, SMS, European Union emission trading schemes, large aircraft security programs, you know. And where does this all fall? Pilots aren't doing it, okay? Maintenance guys aren't doing it. The nerve center of the organization is handling most of this stuff, and you guys are the nerve center. You can't hide, okay? Some people want to say, I just keep my head down. No, you can't hide. No, you have to get engaged. It's our job as a whole to help our companies be very successful. The truth is, nobody else is probably handling it. I used to think when I first moved to Westchester and before I got involved with the Westchester Aviation Association that somebody was doing this stuff. Somebody was talking to the county executive. Somebody was talking to the Westchester County Police. I finally looked and found out nobody was talking to the county executive. Nobody was meeting with the local representatives and senators. That we have to do it ourselves. We have to raise our hand. Now that's, once you come to that realization, you say, how the heck do I do that? I don't know how to do that. As you heard from my resume, I learned how to fly airplanes. I don't know how to do this other stuff. That's the beauty of the program they're putting in front of you, to teach you how to do this stuff. We think that we're different from the rest of the country, company, and frankly, we're all very much the same, especially when it comes to competing for resources. You know, especially in tight times like now when economies are tough and everybody's trimming budgets, they're going to look at aviation just like anybody else and say, where can that money come from? You guys tie up a lot of capital, a lot of operational expense. Bottom line, the aviation reality is we must grow as individuals. We must grow as organizations. We must continue to provide value. If we don't, we die. You probably all know someone at your airport or your local or regional association that isn't here anymore because they didn't change. And the change keeps happening much quicker than it has in the past. These are unprecedented times from a regulatory aspect, from an economic aspect, and you all have to be part of that. And I'm so pleased to hear that, frankly, not only are you part of it, I think you're way ahead of most of us. Everybody wins. You get engaged, everybody wins. Not only do you help yourself and your company to be more productive, to improve the performance of your organization overall, but you yourself, now you become somebody that can get promoted. Promotions in aviation departments, they're very flat, right? You have to wait for somebody to die or retire before you get a chance to move up. People keep salting my food at IBM waiting for me to move on. It's a chance for personal satisfaction. A good story is the airline pilot. We always thought that these guys, they work 12 days a month. You know, they go where they want. They get all this time. They make all this money. I've never met as a whole a more dissatisfied group as airline pilots. They're always complaining. They don't grow. They don't change. They don't get involved. They do the same thing over and over again. You guys have a great advantage because you're at the nerve center and you have a chance to do this. There's greater job security and obviously financial security and being better. You know, if I as the manager of an organization and I had a pilot that was out for a year with a cardiac issue. The company was good to let him coast for a year and wait until he could resolve that issue. But he took that time and went out and got a master's in computer science. Now, when I need computer programming, web-based training for my whole department, not just the pilots, to help them learn and learn more effectively and efficiently, he can deliver it. So he has enhanced his value for the organization because we get what we need a lot cheaper, a lot more effectively, a lot more efficiently, but he's enhanced his own value. You think as I'm looking around, if I ever have to downsize and ever have to say somebody's got to go, well, he's not high on my list. He's going to be right there. And God forbid IBM's flight department goes away after 56 years. I don't think so. Okay. But God forbid that ever happened, or he lost his medical, or for whatever reason he moved on, he's got another career he can turn to. So this is good for you. It's good for the company. And we all want to do this. It's important. What can you do? What are those opportunities out there for growth? I touched on some of them already. And, you know, they're the traditional things, you know, about the software, about scheduling, the core job, if you will. I always get heat from my group that says, you always want us to do something outside the core. You know, pushing us to do things with kids, to do things with the local airport, to get involved with MBAA. Absolutely, you have to do that. You know, you guys shouldn't limit yourself to think that your schedulers and dispatchers are core members of this aviation department team. You know, I got to let you into a secret out here. If you haven't noticed, airplanes are getting smarter. You know, pretty soon I predict that Gulfstream will have a big green button that says go and a big red button that says stop. And all I'll have to remember is when to push one or the other. That's absolutely true. I remember the airplanes I first started on were much more complex, or they're not more complex, but much more difficult to fly as opposed to the ones we have today. Frankly, we put a kid in a Falcon 2000 simulator with a heads-up guidance system and say, keep the little dot in the hole there, and he can fly right down to touchdown. But there's another side of the business that's incredibly complex that requires an awful lot of work, and one of those is maintenance. The guys that have to fix these airplanes, the skills that they have to take on, and how to manage the money that goes with this. I mean, we're talking incredibly expensive capital assets. They got to plug in the laptop and ask the airplane how it feels today. It doesn't want to fly today. And they got to figure out when it says, no, I don't want to fly today, why not? So the maintenance skills around this are incredible. What they have to do are just skyrocketing. So their curve is straight through the roof. Actually, the pilot curve is kind of flattening out the requirements for increased training and learning. But the other area where it's growing through the roof is this nerve center, I call it, of flight operations. It's not schedulers and dispatchers. That's even too narrow a term. It's the nerve center. It's where everything goes. Everything passes through the dispatch office. Everything. When I'm looking to a place to say, where can I get this done? You know, I look at the team leader in my group, Mike Marson, and he goes, oh, God, not again, Jeff. You want me to do that, too? But at the same point, it makes that department even more valuable. Mark Mastic, one of our new guys, he knows this is true, right? It's true. It's absolutely true. You know, whether it's ISBAL or EU, ETS, AIC, I mean, that's Mark's baby. I mean, he can't, you know, a year ago he couldn't spell AIC, but with the SEC requirements about reporting and tracking of all those things, so it meets the requirements for the proxy statement that corporate public corporations have to publish every year. Incredible amount of work that's audited every year. Tax issues, again, it has to flow through dispatch. Safety management systems, it has to be there. They are the front end of everything we do, and everything flows through there. I'll tell you, the next managers of aviation departments are not going to be pilots. They're going to be maintenance people, or they're going to be dispatchers. And there's a good reason, because they're going to know how to run the business. I'll tell you, the next, as of 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, the next chairman of NBAA is Pat Cunningham from PepsiCo. Well, Pat is a lawyer, and it was the former director of maintenance for PepsiCo. So that's where it's going. And you guys ought to understand that. Take advantage of it, and there's great opportunities for you out there. Don't ignore the business skills, how to write and how to present. You know, you can have the best idea in the world, but if you can't communicate it to people, you're dead in the water. So I encourage those soft skills. Work on those. Practice those. You know, the term I like to use is lean into the wind. It's not comfortable, okay? Go where it's not comfortable. Don't go where it's easy. Let me leave you one last note, is give something back. One of my favorite things is the career fair at Westchester County Airport. There's nothing like seeing a bunch of middle school students having their eyes open wide as you talk to them about airplanes and wind tunnels and robots and electricity and getting them excited about staying in school and studying science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. We use aviation as kind of bait on the hook for that, if you will, because it's kind of a sexy thing, if you will. But they love it. They enjoy it. But our industry needs all of you involved with the community. We've talked and you've heard about the challenges that we're facing with our congressional delegations, the bad-mouthing that the business aviation, you know, since last year, we've been skewered by our public officials. Well, there's a way to avoid that, and that's by getting involved. Don't finish the day and say, hey, the best view of flight operations is in the rearview mirror. You know, you've got to get involved, whether that's politically, whether it's in a safety or security event, whether it's bringing other stakeholders, businesses around the airport that are involved in the airport, that benefit from the airport, getting them out to see the airport, whether it's something to do with kids, whether it's involved with calling your congressman and saying, you know, this is what I care about, I encourage you to not ignore that. Don't be myopic. Don't be nearsighted. Don't be narrow in your scope. The future, your future, and the future of our industry and the future of your organization depends on it. So I am delighted at this program. I've already decided I'm going. Okay. You guys not only have the most dynamic committee in NBAA, you have the best program here, and we all know you have the best parties, too. So I really appreciate the opportunity to be here today. Thank you very much, and I'm going to pass it back to you.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to turn it over now to Elizabeth Dornack with DuPont.
Don't show me up now.
You're hard act to follow. Thank you, Dora. Imagine, if you will, for a moment, flying in an airplane, in the back of an airplane, knowing that the pilots up front have not been trained. They've never flown in a simulator. They've never practiced emergency procedures. They've never been trained on the use of radar or weather avoidance, calculating weight and balance or aircraft performance. And what about the maintenance of the airplane? Again, using your imagination, would you ever fly on an airplane that was maintained by technicians that had not been trained? They've never been to school on how to maintain engines, changing tires, or troubleshooting problems. As you're sitting in the back of the airplane, would you feel comfortable? Would you be looking over the shoulders of the pilots, wondering what they're doing? Would you wonder why anyone would consider working in this highly complex environment and not be trained? And then there's all the safety training. How to recognize and reduce risks. How to put together a safety management system program. Human factors training, crew resource management, maintenance resource management. Imagine what a flight operation would look like if no money or time was spent to train personnel. Fortunately for the pilots and maintenance technicians, there exist minimum standards for training written into federal laws. FAA certified dispatchers have a number of requirements for training, but for schedulers, there is no regulatory requirements for initial training or continuing education. The majority of people attracted to the job of scheduler or dispatcher within a corporate flight department are very bright, organized, and highly professional individuals. But without training, their ability to bring value to an organization can be limited. There's a question that it's very appropriate to ask at this time, and that is, what makes airplanes fly? The answer, of course, is people. It's all about the team. It's not just pilots. Maintenance technicians have a critical role in making airplanes fly. So do fuelers, line service, and so do the trip and crew schedulers. Without any one of these elements, the entire process does not work as effectively, especially in large organizations. None of us would want to fly on an airplane that is flown and maintained by untrained pilots or technicians. So why would it be okay to work in an organization that does not train the individual that schedules aircraft into and out of airports, books the times of a trip, or is on the person on the phone talking to the owner of the aircraft or principal passenger about weather, crew duty issues, and sometimes having to negotiate very delicate changes to plans? Sure, there's on-the-job training for schedulers and dispatchers, and over a career of hard knocks and mistakes, eventually someone can come up to speed. However, clearly the most effective and efficient place to learn the skills necessary to be a valuable contributor to the flight department is at the annual Schedulers and Dispatchers Conference. This is the place to come to attend formal presentations on everything from basic aircraft performance, cross-border issues, airport restrictions, aviation, financial reporting, to the advocacy of business aviation. The presentations are made by recognized industry leaders on topics that are timely and career-building. An exhibit hall is filled with vendors representing the latest in goods and services, and what better place?
place to develop and nurture the relationships with vendors, as well as negotiating pricing while ensuring the exceptional service for the flight department. Plus, and possibly the most important thing, is the unparalleled opportunity to network with peers in the industry. There are both formal and informal networking opportunities. To help first-time attendees to the Schedulers and Dispatchers Conference, there are formal programs which help people maximize the value of the conference by sharing tips and to get the most out of the experience. Tied to this is the Ambassador Volunteer Program. This is a concrete way for experienced people to give back to the industry by sharing their time and talent to ensure a well-run conference and to guide first-time attendees. The informal networking that takes place during breaks and meals may be one of the most important elements of the Schedulers and Dispatchers Conference. Building up that list of phone numbers and names of people that can be called or communicated with anytime a new problem comes up is invaluable. I'm fortunate that I work for a company that has had a long commitment to investing in people. Sharon Forbes is our head of scheduling, and she was one of the founding members of MBAA's Schedulers and Dispatchers Committee. Over 20 years ago, she and a group of others recognized a need within the business aviation community, which at the time was not being met. This group has worked tirelessly to increase the professionalism and respect of this very important part of our industry. Sharon's committee involvement has unquestionably enhanced our flight department. We have reaped the benefits of her growth and knowledge. She has been an ambassador for DuPont on local, regional, and the national level. Her ability to attend the Schedulers and Dispatchers conferences over the years has truly been a win-win situation. She has been able to share her personal passion and commitment to excellence with others in the industry and has set the bar higher for us on a day-to-day basis. As proof of her talents and contributions, Sharon was recognized throughout the industry by receiving MBAA's Outstanding Achievement and Leadership Award last year. We all come to our jobs or careers with a certain skill set. It is then up to us as individuals and as part of a team to nurture and grow those talents within ourselves and others through increased knowledge and training. Career development adds value to the entire flight department, and the annual Schedulers and Dispatchers Conference is the perfect place to do this. Networking can establish ever-increasing measures of excellence, as well as creating lifetime friendships. A leader at any level is someone who has a passion for what they do and is willing to give back to the industry. So, imagine how great a flight department you can have if you invest in the training of all your people. Imagine what your team would look like if all the individuals in your team are always aiming higher. And imagine how great an industry we can have if we all reach out, participate, mentor, and be passionate. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. I think we all realize the value that Sharon has provided not only to your department but to this entire industry, and we all thank her for it. Mr. Jeff Daniels, it's your turn.
Well, thank you again for the opportunity to be here today. I have a strong passion in my heart for schedulers and dispatchers. In an early state of my career, I was a contract co-pilot with the company, and one of our schedulers had to go out on maternity leave, so they threw the new young guy in the scheduling office. And I can tell you I've learned a whole new appreciation for what the job is you have to do. I decided to change things up just a little bit. The fact of, I'd like to tell you a story, and a story about what I determined to be or called to be the Cinderella scheduler. So this is chapter one. The nice part is it's a really short story, okay? But once upon a time, there lived a lowly little travel agent named Cinderella that was sequestered in the bowels of the corporate headquarters building, where she worked tirelessly, making travel reservations all day long. While the Cinderella was well-versed in the world of commercial travel, she knew little of the unique services and the capabilities that the business aviation community provided. Then one day, Cinderella found herself immersed in the middle of the busy corporate flight department with so much to do and her business aviation flight scheduling skills so few. However,
because her ferry guide manager told her that the NBAA schedulers of dispatchers conference was there. With a workshop agenda in one hand and a stack of networking event invitations in the other, otherwise known as parties, she set off to attend her first S&D conference. Little did Cinderella know what a positive influence this event was going to have on her life and on her career. So in thinking about those managers that might be here and the story you can take back to your managers, can you be a fairy god manager? What does it take? How do you do that? So all the course of the questions, how much did it cost to outfit our little Cinderella to send her off to her first S&D ball? Well, it cost about $1,700, about probably what it's going to cost me for prom next year. Registration expenses, of course, the dress, the scarf, the matching purse, and glass slippers are all sold separately, okay? So those you have to come up with on your own. How much did we benefit from our investment to Cinderella? Would you believe $25,000 in the first year? Just in what she made from 1 3-day conference, $1,700, making all kinds of new friends, connections, learning about fuel discount programs, making contacts, face-to-face connections with her vendors. She saved me and earned herself a nice, healthy little bonus for saving the company. I can tell you that that number last year for our department was over $72,000. It was huge. How much can be gained from the intangible investment in her education and her professional development? Absolutely priceless. I have an employee who was a commercial travel agent and literally turned into being a corporate flight scheduler, and she was at the point she was ready to pack it up, turn it in, and go away. And I don't think at this point that I could probably pry her out of a corporate flight department with enough dynamite in the world. She's there to stay, and that's a good thing. So now, where did I leave that little magic wand that was out there, and how do you get one? So how do you build your own fairy tale? Well, certainly, my view is looking at your organization from a high level down, examine the needs of the opportunities for growth inside of your department. You may say, I'm too small. I can only do so much as one little organization. I have one little Learjet. And we have opportunities that we find ways to make opportunities for training and development. You may have multiple schedulers. You may have multiple mission profiles. You may operate internationally, domestically. Wherever it's going to be, everyone's mission and opportunities are going to be different. So you need to examine what you need in your department first. And then really, as a manager's perspective, then evaluate how your scheduler fits into the role. Absolutely, the nerve center is one of the best analogies that I've heard of where and how the folks fit. My scheduler, Karen, knows that her joke is that I work for her rather than she worked for me, and it's really pretty much true. Look at your scheduler, you privately first. Look at your scheduler, but look at her in or him in a very specific way, but looking at their developmental needs and really taking a step back and look at some of the competencies of what they have and what they do. What are their capabilities? We all have areas that we can improve upon. We sometimes don't like to address what those are. Some are very open and obvious to others, but not to us. Others are just kind of quiet and small and subtle. Once you get the good handle on it, I hate to tell you, you're not done with your own development. There's always something more. Just even the what's been alluded to as the number of changes that take place in the industry. Now, engage your scheduler and talk about what, God forbid, they would like to do. How would you like to grow? What are your interests? What are your desires? And then you come back and do the best you can to try to be able to take this information. You share with them or learn from them what these opportunities are, what's available in the industry, and then certainly, hey, dust off that magic wand because 2010 schedules and dispatchers is just right around the corner. So in order to have a ball at the S&D, hey, there's so many things that we can do. And from the ideas of informational sessions, you've got the whole listing, and I won't go over those, but just it's a plethora. I was truly amazed the first time that I went and saw the whole depth and breadth of all the different programs that were available. I've had the opportunity to present at the Schedulers Conference the last couple of years, and it's just what a fun and dynamic environment of people that want to go from day one, day two on the job, to those of you that have been doing it for all of your career. There's something there for everybody. The networking opportunities we make light of, but they are very serious, and without that networking, I wouldn't have had that $25,000 in fuel savings the first year. Those personal relationships are huge and extremely valuable. Education and training, of course, we've got all some of the PDP courses, the SPDP courses that all go towards more of a formal corporate development aspect for people in their career. So now let's fast forward up to the present day today. Where we find our Cinderella is getting ready for another S&D ball. So what will she find when she goes to this year event?
more glass slippers cleverly disguised as SPDP certificates, greater confidence to deal with out-of-the-box tech challenges, new fuel purchasing programs that offer even greater savings to the ferry guy manager, or valuable information about the latest security and regulatory changes affecting the business aviation community. The end? No way. Just the beginning. And this is the opportunity for her to get started. She's just getting started. Now the rest of the idea is the opportunity for you to build Cinderella in your flight department. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Unfortunately, Cinderella couldn't be with us this week. She is planning a wedding for her own Cinderella. So, Kelly Rittenhouse with Pentastar Aviation.
I have followed Jeff Daniels many times at NBA conferences, and this is a first with the Cinderella. Very nice, very nice. So I'm here on behalf of the Educational Development Subcommittee, the EDSC, and I want to talk to you just briefly about their roles and responsibilities and talk to you a bit about the grassroots effort that is NBAA. It goes from the standpoint of our activities in our communities and on a local and national level, but it's a very strong parallel to what the Educational Development Subcommittee does in the way of the training that they offer in the SPDP. So here are a few of their roles and their responsibilities. And first of all, we have an SPD program, which is part of the professional development program. Jeff alluded to that. The schedulers and dispatchers, there are some specific learning objectives and modules that are tailored to the scheduler and dispatcher. And this is why I say it's very grassroots, because it came out of a need recognized by both the committee and NBAA. How could we better serve those of you who are doing this job, and what would it take to raise that professionalism? So the Educational Development Subcommittee oversees, and they work on selecting the courses that we're offering, provide feedback, and also promote these opportunities both at a local and national level. It's so important that we remain relevant. As everyone here has mentioned, things are changing so rapidly, and it's important that what we're offering is relevant and is something you can take back to your organization and share it throughout. As we continue to develop SPDP, there is a plaque recognition that you're able to participate in. As you complete, you receive certificates, and as you earn more of the certificates, there's a plaque award that goes with this to show the work that you've done and recognize you for your achievements. Additionally, the modules are here listed for you. You could take a second and look over them. They're tailored along the professional development. There's a technical training as well as the leadership and learning objectives noted here. It dovetails into NBAA's professional development program, as well as then looking towards, in some cases, the Certified Aviation Manager program, which again is a continuing development and a way for you to expand beyond that original thinking outside of the box and the value that you add to the scheduling and dispatching function. Also this year, a few of the highlights that we have coming up, and again, listening to feedback from the surveys and the critiques, we're interested in having, and we will be offering the first time a dispatch recurrent educational opportunity. And again, it came through the feedback and asking for a technical opportunity to, if you have a dispatch license, go through a training, and this will be offered this year. We were presented with 4 proposals through an RFP process, and the committee reviewed all of those, put together a matrix, evaluated the program and the providers, and made a selection. So we're very excited to be offering this in 2010. There's also a regional group initiative where we are trying to bring the PDP and SPD programs to your regional group meetings and offer another venue outside of just the 2 conferences for you to participate. And so we would encourage attendance, and this is another great way to meet people in your region. Again, adding to the grassroots effort, if you will, to know who is in your area and what type of training are you all looking for. And this will help us encourage more participation from vendors as well. And this is just a summary of our course offerings this year for the SPDP, the Dispatch Recurrent, and a value proposition analysis for corporate aviation. It lists the objectives that we're meeting, and there's a very nice, on the website, you can see the overall program and all of the objectives incentives, how they fit together. Also, getting the most of your training dollar and the aircraft capacity and flight operations module. So that's just a brief overview from the committee and the educational development subcommittee, who's doing great work, and I was honored to present on their behalf.
Thank you very much, Kelly, and again, congratulations on your election to the CAM governing board. We're very proud of you. Last but certainly not least, Mr. Troy Ledoux with MassMutual Aviation.
Thank you very much. I'm probably a little loud without the microphone, never mind. So I'll try to be brief. I cannot possibly follow up the Cinderella story, so I won't even try on that one. I will be brief, and actually what I have to speak on as behalf of the Scholarship and Dispatchers Committee and the Scholarship Subcommittee ties in perfectly with everything that's been discussed so far. Because in a time when we're talking about investing in ourselves and doing what we need to do to make ourselves more valuable to our flight departments, to do our own professional development, the scholarship program is a perfect way of getting there. And what I think is amazing is if you just go onto the NBAA website, search under scholarships. It is amazing how many scholarship programs are available through NBAA, through all the standing committees, and not least of which is our own Schedulers and Dispatchers scholarship program, which is twofold. It works perfectly with the whole reason that we have a Schedulers and Dispatchers committee, which is dedicated to professional development. One of those means is the scholarship program. And it is twofold. Since 1997, we've had generous sponsorship where money is pooled from sponsors and then is reviewed as part of the scholarship subcommittee and then is awarded to applicants. That has been going on since 1997. $300,000 has been awarded to over 100 different individuals. So that's quite a success story. In addition to that, in 2005, the program was expanded to include training scholarships or training awards. So what that is additional sponsors donating actual educational opportunities, slots in training, dispatcher training, etc. And since 2005, 24 individuals have been awarded training awards. And again, a great success story. And personally, I'm a 2003 scholarship recipient, and I feel grateful to be and honored to serve on the Scholars and Dispatchers Committee and on the Scholarship Subcommittee as a means of giving back because NBAA believed in me to give me a scholarship, and hopefully there is some way through this my service on the committee and other things to be able to give back because it made a great deal of difference in my professional career. It allowed me to get my dispatcher training and ultimately get my dispatcher's license. And whether it's for that, I mean, sometimes I think we forget that these scholarships aren't just for dispatcher licenses. They are the SPDP courses, the PDP courses, going to the conference in a time when, during such a terrible economic downturn, and flight department budgets are tight, what a great time to ask for scholarship funds, maybe just simply to attend the conference, whereby someone might not normally be able to right now because of tight flight department budgets. So really, that is to be reminded, just to remember that there are so many different things that can be done by applying for a scholarship. And in 2010, we're very happy to have over $40,000 available from the Monetary Scholarship Fund program. As you, I won't read, actually I should advance the screen maybe. In 2010, over $40,000 available through our sponsors. I won't read them. I will say that it's amazing in a year that has been so bad economically and with all the bad press about aviation and aviation careers that basically all of our monetary sponsors have stayed the same. We had one that's no longer with us and one that actually came back so that we are actually able to maintain that same level of funding as previous years. So we think that's quite a success story in such a bad time. Along with the monetary sponsors, we have, again, the training scholarship providers, the sponsors that are providing educational opportunities. And again, actually on this side, on the training award side, we actually increased training awards by 3 this year. So then really it's a year we have a net gain in such a bad environment. And so we're very pleased with that. And I just want to, at this time, if there's anyone here who is actually representing a sponsor company of all the different sponsors we've shown, if you'd please stand up to be recognized. Because obviously, I mean, it goes without saying that without the sponsorship and the sponsorship of many years from these sponsors is invaluable. And with that, I'm going to end the program. If anyone has any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Thank you very much. And thanks again to all of our wonderful panelists today. I think we all face a big challenge. I think, obviously, all of these people understand the importance of the Schedulers and Dispatchers Conference and training for their schedulers and dispatchers. And now we all have to take it upon ourselves to get the message out. It's the flight department managers or directors who aren't sending their schedulers to dispatchers. Number one, because they think it's just a big party. Yes, we do have fun, but we work hard during the day. We work hard, and then we have fun later. But we need your help in getting that message out. If you've been to the conference, you understand the value that you've gotten from the conference. You understand the value that your department has gotten from the conference. Or if you're a vendor, an exhibitor, you certainly understand the value of being at our conference, building relationships with your customers and attracting new customers. So, again, we do ask for your help in getting the word out, talking to those flight departments who do not currently send their schedulers and dispatchers to the conference. And please give them, feel free to give them my name or Joe D'Amato, and we will certainly get them the information that they need. We do have extra conference brochures that will be available at the MBAA booth. So if you know of one of those flight department managers who just doesn't think this is necessary, then I would very much appreciate it if you would take a couple of extra brochures with you and pass that information along. So at this time, if anyone has any questions, we'd be happy to answer them. October 30th is the deadline. And we do have scholarship applications available at the MBAA booth, and they're also available online. Any other questions? If you've been awarded a training award in the past, can you still apply for a scholarship? Yes, you can. Troy, if you can expand on that. Okay, well, thank you again to our panelists. Each of you really had a great message today, and again, we just need everyone to get that word out to everyone else. So thank you for being here, and we're looking forward to seeing you in San Antonio in January. Thank you.